Before we begin this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfams, especially all of the folks over on our BFF BBF tier. We should probably change that. That's hard to fucking say in one word. But Crisi Galindo, Evelyn Preciado, and Cassandra Tapia, y'all are real ones. Y'all have been supporting us on that level. Most of y'all, like all of y'all, essentially from the start. So, like for real, thank you, Chrissy. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Cassandra. Y'all are for real. If you also want to support us, go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. The link in the description. $1 gets you access to a bunch of archival posts, including some of the very first episodes of Bitter Brown Fams that are like archived. That means no longer on the internet. And yeah, some of our live streams and shit. $5 gets you access to video versions of this episode. $10 gets you a bonus episode. The last episode was about like me venting about what it's like to be back in the public eye, more or less. And before that, you know, there's a bunch of other things that Cassandra and I would talk about as a bonus to things. Or when I had a guest, like when I had Daniel on the podcast, we would talk about music. So yeah, that's a $10 sphere, and $15 gets you a shout out at the end, and you know the next tiers get you shout outs in the beginning. So yeah, check it out. You know, we have only ever had one sponsor on this podcast. When y'all bitches listen to all these other white podcasts that are leftist, they got a million different sponsors. We'll give them a bunch of fucking dollars. The only sponsor that Bitter Brown Fams have ever had in their almost 10-year history, we will be 10 next year, was fucking Planned Parenthood. So, for all bitches trying to call us rad libs or whatever, whoever tried to fix their mouth against us, y'all listen to Trapo Chap House or whatever the fuck, and fucking Hassan and all, and fucking Red Scare. And them bitches always be taking mad sponsorships, even though they were offered to us, and even though they've offered to fucking buy us out, Pots of America, those people offered to buy us out. We have never taken those sponsorships. We have always abided by our politics and have only taken a sponsorship from Planned Parenthood to promote their goddamn video services during the pandemic. And shit. We would have done that for free. But girl, we were it was tough times for everybody 2020. So shit. Planned Parenthood offered money and it was aligned with our politics. So yeah, we said yes. So yes, this has always been a fully like independent podcast sponsored by listeners like you. Like this shit would not exist without patrons. Shit, like for real. So, like, yeah, check out patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. The link in the description. Support independent podcasts that are actually independent, that are not tied to a conglomerate, that are not tied to a goddamn, like, Fortune 500 company. We have always been fully independent. And yeah, let's start the show. All right, girls, let's do it live. This is Ruben, your host, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And this week, our recession indicator is the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow, Academy Award winner for fucking Shakespeare in Love, did a fucking commercial for condos in goddamn Israel. First of all, I want to ask Gwyneth Paltrow, how broke are you? Is your goop business not doing well? Are the vagina candles not selling? Is whatever else dirt you sell on goop.com not paying your mortgage? Did your home burn down during the fucking Palisades LA fires? Why are you shilling for Israel unless you are a fucking Zionist who wants to see brown people die? That's my question for Gwyneth Paltrow. And if she doesn't put a statement out, I'm gonna assume the answer is that yes, she's a Zionist. Yes, she likes to see brown people die. And that most importantly, and probably the shit that hurts her ego, is that she is broke as fuck. Because something that people need to learn is that rich people, people who appear rich, are actually broke as fuck. So many things in this world function around debt, right? So I have like pretty good knowledge of the music industry just as a music writer and somebody who like, you know, has written in the business. Artists, for example, get like a stipend, an advance that they have to recoup at some point, right? So if their albums don't sell enough, they're in debt, right? Studios similarly invest in movies sometimes, and no longer so much in actors. They used to in the old like studio system that existed in the MGM grand times of like, you know, Betty Davis, Marilyn Monroe, Katharine Hepburn. But there are remnants of that that still exist, right? So we are kind of seeing the re-emergence of that in some ways with like when you see some actress that only exists on Netflix, right? So are you in debt, Gwyneth Paltrow? Did the divorce from Chris Martin leave you so broke that you need to be shelling out fucking condos for Israel, or do you just want to support this genocidal state? Because those are the only two options. Like, that's for real. At this point, we are 3 years deep into the latest and most concerted effort into Israel's genocide against Palestine. This has been going on since the Nakba, of course, 75 years. But this is maybe the first time in a while where it has become a global issue that you cannot escape. If you know someone who doesn't know about like the conflict, quote unquote, because you know what? Let me trace that back because I'm a millennial, so I just caught myself. What they used to call the conflict in the Middle East. And remember when you remember growing up, you were a millennial, you were like, peace in the Middle East, and they just meant that they wish Israel stopped bombing people. We are now so online as a humanity, so able to educate ourselves that we can no longer excuse people for being ignorant to the genocide happening against the Palestinian people by the state, if the state of Israel. So, Gwyneth Paltrow, are you broke or do you hate brown people? And that's where we're at. If this multimillionaire ass bitch is selling condos in Israel, that shit must be because she is broke as hell. All right. And so, yeah, that's my recession indicator. Because if you are someone that is so, you have to be so morally bankrupt that you are selling condos on the beachside of Israel, a beachside that you share with Palestine, a beachside that you share with Palestine that you have bombed for years that is now decimated to the point that you can see it from space. You are soulless. There is no. If you believe in a God and if you believe in a soul, that soul is not in you. Shelling for Israel is as close as you can come to selling your soul to the devil in this life. If you believe in God, you cannot support Israel. Because supporting Israel as close as you can to supporting the devil in real life. I'm sorry, I'm gonna be extreme. Even the Pope has said time and time again that Israel is committing a genocide. The last Pope said it, the current Pope is saying it. And if you don't agree with the Pope, then guess what, bitch? You ain't Christian. You ain't a Catholic because the rules of your religion say you have to agree with the Pope. And while I'm at it, the Pope also likes trans people. Not only this Pope, but the last Pope. They might not agree that gay marriage is valid. And heck, I go back and forth on that. Not on like a homophobic level, but on a like, girl, should we even be fighting about this when our trans siblings don't even have full rights? We have bigger fish to fry. But yeah, essentially, if you as a Christian do not believe, do not agree that Israel is committing a genocide, then you disagree with the Pope. And disagreeing with the Pope, again, is grounds for being excommunicated. So if your church is worth a damn, they should be fucking teaching you to get your shit together and protest Israel. And protest Gwyneth Paltrow again, who is probably a broke bitch. If she answers to Bitter Brown Femmes in 2 weeks' time, I'll give her 2 weeks. I'll be generous. 2 weeks, Gwyneth Paltrow, you can write bitterbrownfemmes@gmail.com and say, hey, I'm not broke. I just hate brown people. I'll understand. And then you will not be a recession indicator. You'll just be a racist genocidaire, which is, your prerogative. It feels like you believe that history will forgive you or your children or whatever. Apple Martin will be free of your decisions. I hope she's not. I'm sorry. All of us have to pay the price of the shit that our parents did. Most of my audience, including myself, are broke as fuck because our parents made broke as fuck decisions. Your daughter is rich as fuck because y'all had the privilege, you and Chris Martin had the privilege of going into wealth or being born into wealth. Did you face the fucking decisions, the fucking consequences of you supporting a genocide, Gwyneth Paltrow? I hope your children and your grandchildren are broke as fuck, Gwyneth Paltrow. And yeah, that's a recession indicator. And if you feel that I'm coming in hot today, that is because I am. Because I am pissed in the way that California elections have gone. And before I go into my fucking shit, I want to begin by saying if you're on the floor organizing, if you're doing mutual aid, if you're actively engaging people, if you're going beyond the ballot for real, right? Educating folks, organizing, doing mutual aid, everything else that is considered the work, please ignore the following scolding, especially if you're from LA, I mean, from California. Like, this is going to be a California-centric episode, I think, for the most part, or at least the next 10 minutes, or however long, how much energy I have to spend on the California election that just happened. If you organize, do mutual aid, again, educate, organize for real, conscious absentiator or whatever, but you do other work, ignore the next fucking ward of vomit. This is not for you, right? Or rather, if you don't vote or the elections don't matter to you, or if you voted in a way that aligned with your politics, but maybe not in a progressive manner. Basically, if you do all that work, ignore the next part of this because, like, I get it. You are bandaging the world. Elections are just one piece of the puzzle. You're doing all the other pieces. But if you are one of the people who are not part of that group, or if you know somebody who is not part of the group, if you know somebody who is only engaging in politics when it comes to fucking elections, girl, send them this fucking video. Send them this fucking podcast. because I need to talk to them, and they need to sit down for this fucking scolding. They need to sit down for this fucking regañada, especially if they're from California, especially if they're from fucking LA. Because, girl, we need to talk. Like, the California elections were a shit show. People think that California is like this ultra progressive place. But if you're from California, even the big cities, you know what the fuck the deal is. Like, I'm from LA. I will tell you firsthand, it is probably the most segregated place I've ever lived in my life. I think, for better or worse, like, you know, and I went to some white ass schools, and I currently live in Portland. But even now in Portland, like, even though there's like historically black areas, historically Latinx areas, it's not like everybody just stays there, right? Whereas in LA, there are historically black areas, historically Asian areas, historically Latinx areas, historically white areas, and people still stay there in 2026. There are no fucking white people really living in Southeast LA. I mean, now there's fucking white people in South Central, but that's because of fucking gentrification. But like, shit is, and like in Koreatown, if there's a white person, it is again a gentrifier. Like, it is very easy to identify the people who are new to the area. Luckily, like Koreatown, you know, Boyle Heights, Southeast LA are still kind of like, for better or worse, strongholds that haven't been fully gentrified. And that's a longer story about why that is. But California is super segregated, is what I'm trying to get at. So from the get-go, people from LA, from California can tell you this is not a super progressive state. We are at best a centrist liberal state. A lot of that has to do with what kind of money is in this bitch, right? We have tech, super right wing, Zuckerberg, fucking sell, you know, sell Sam Altman, fucking. At one point, Elon Musk, until he moved to Texas or whatever. The tech boom happened here. Hollywood is here. Y'all, I'm so confused about this idea that Hollywood is this liberal situation where, I'm like, bitch, look at the stats on what gets created. It is all cis, white, heterosexual entertainment. That we get like one queer show a year, a couple of POC shows a year is, and they're so underfunded, is like such a miracle. Like, y'all understand, like, what was the last time we had more than one trans lead in a TV show since Pose went off the air? I'll wait. Yeah, and guess who controls that? Fucking Hollywood, that is based where? In LA. The music industry. When the last time you saw, like, a trans or queer artist, maybe even a POC artist who, you know, didn't have financial backing before them, really break through in a big way. When was the last time, you know, in this like pull yourself up from the bootstraps type of economy, type of American sentiment? Why are all our techies white? Why? I know there's a lot of Asian folks in tech, and you know, it's a lot of other folks in tech. Why are all the leaders of tech companies white men? Some of them are gay, sure. Shout out Sam Altman. Shout out Peter Thiel, whatever the fuck. But still white men. This is still a fucking segregated ass, at best centrist liberal state. And it is only centrist because of all the people of color, all the queer people here. If it wasn't for those people, this would be a right-wing state. If you go anywhere outside of the fucking seaside, essentially, the moment you get out of the coast, it is Republican as hell. Even fucking Palm Springs, old ass gays, is Republican as hell. And white as hell. California is fighting some of the same battles as other places, but on different levels, right? So it is this perceived notion that we're progressive and that we vote Democrats. So we end up with people who are essentially Republicans running as Democrats, as we are seeing, as we saw with Javier Becerra. And before I get into him, I just wanna clap it up for you bitches who said, I'm not voting for Tom Steyer because he's a billionaire. I'm gonna vote for Javier Becerra, Tio Becerra, Tio Javier. Fucking suck a dick. No, you will like that too much. Fucking eat a pineapple whole, bitch. Where to start? Politicians are not your family members. Politicians are not your friends. Politicians are not even your acquaintances. If anything, politicians are your employees. Politicians are public servants. Politicians are getting paid from your taxes, bitch. You won't lend your uncle $20, but you will call Javier Becerra, who you're giving all tax money, Tio Becerra? Tio Javier, shut the whole ass up, you ignorant motherfuckers. Oh my God. Javier Becerra has been bought out by Chevron, by AI companies, by Meta, by every big corporation you can think of. He has experience in big government, yes, but even the Biden administration has admitted to looking at him like a inefficient laughing stock. This is who y'all decided to lead. This is who's most likely to win the California governorship. Someone who is right of Gavin Newsom, who was bad enough that he himself with his bare hands fucking demolish fucking homeless camps. Y'all dumb bitches. Oh my God. Tom Steyer is someone who is a billionaire, and someone who at some point of his fucking billionaire life said, oh shit, this is bad. I'm gonna make sure that I don't die a billionaire. Has been his campaign. He did not ask for donations. He did not get any PAC funding. He ran his campaign on his own dime with progressive values that included universal health care for Californians. Guess who's against that shit? Guess who's against making healthcare affordable for Californians? Javier Becerra, you pieces of shit. Now get used to that fucking expensive. Girl, we are gonna go broke as soon as we fucking break a fucking toe in California. Oof. Tom Steyer was not a perfect candidate. I'm just gonna be upfront with that. Never said that was the case, even though y'all bitches in the comments were like, how dare you like support a billionaire, blah blah blah. Like, not this liberal. When did Bitter Brown fans get so liberal? Bitch. Identify as a fucking smart anarchist socialist. Keyword smart. It's about picking your fucking enemy. Javier Becerra already told us he ain't giving us shit. If anything, is taking away shit from us and criminalizing homeless people. You listener, if you listen to this podcast, you are likely not a billionaire, which means you are closer to being homeless than you might think. So this motherfucker hates you too, just like Gavin Newsom. This bitch had it out for you and yours, and yet California voted for him. Yes, Steyer was not the perfect candidate and never got paid to support him, even though y'all fell for the fucking PSYOP. Which again was two accounts that spread the exact same message about Tom Steyer that he paid hella influencers. Wasn't that many, and it should be suspicious to y'all why certain influencers kept repeating the same line about like, Steyer is a billionaire and like he paid influencers, blah blah. They all paid influencers, bitches. Like, y'all need to wake the fuck up and learn some media literacy. All these influencers are paid for something or another. You think these bitches all love Dove soap or whatever they're selling? No. The only influencers you can really trust are the ones who like have never sold you shit. And even then, I'm selling you like politics, right? I'm selling you this idea or this opinion. I'm selling you an opinion. Even someone like me who is not selling you anything outside of the Patreon is still selling you an opinion. Everybody is selling you something. Wake the fuck up. Javier Becerra also has influencers. That's why we saw the big Tio Becerra fucking push. The big Tio Becerra or Tio Javier fucking social media campaign. But y'all didn't call him out on that. Didn't come call him out on that Chevron money. Y'all believed that gas was gonna be cheaper, didn't ask questions about how that gas was gonna get cheaper. They're already diluting our goddamn gas. That's what you ain't getting. Even though you're paying $7 for a fucking, per gallon, you ain't getting shit out of it. And it's only gonna get worse. People call Javier Becerra the NASCAR candidate. And that's because when you're a NASCAR racer, you wear all these goddamn sponsor patches on your jacket. And that is what Javier Becerra is, just a bunch of billion-dollar companies in a candidate. So yes, I supported Javier Becerra. I mean, I supported fuck, somebody's gonna clip that. I supported Tom Steyer, the one billionaire who had the one billionaire Tom Steyer, as opposed to this guy who tries to present to you as like your tío, Javier Becerra, who was supported by all these fucking companies, all these other billion-dollar companies. And like, some of y'all super woke bitches wanted to be like, what about Butch Weir, blah, blah. Like, we need to support that. What about bitch? That guy didn't even get 1% of the vote. In California, it's 20%. Like, you need at least 20% of the vote to even be considered, and only the top two, regardless of party affiliation, go forward. When I recorded that podcast, girl, we were only 1 week removed from the reality that the two top candidates of California were mega, mega Republicans. That's the reality that we were facing, because the top Democratic dude, whose name I forgot, was like caught like sexually harassing people and ultimately like, dropped out of the race because of that scandal and probably going to jail or whatever if law, whatever. Our two top candidates at the time of recording were two fucking Republicans. We got lucky that we only got one Republican now in the race. And I want to make it very clear to you that we could have had two Democrats at the top of the fucking chart. We could have had two Democrats to vote for in November. And guess what, bitches? If we had Tom Steyer in the fucking election come November, he would have won. And we would have gotten fucking healthcare in California. We would have had ICE persecuted. That's another thing. Javier Becerra will not persecute ICE, will not stop ICE activity in California. Tom Steyer has committed to persecuting ICE. That should have been enough for you bitches. That should have been enough for you bitches. Butch Ware, all respect to his platform, that bitch didn't take it enough seriously. That was a fucking vanity campaign. And I will say that right now, because he galvanized a bunch of you to drown the comments of people who were like actually trying to like take this shit seriously. There was very little money on record. And if you know the way California elections work, you have to record the donations you get for your campaign. He got less than 1%. I don't, he didn't even pass the 0.04% threshold. But y'all super woke folks were online calling bitches all sorts of left side liberals and shit. And for what? For a candidate that made it where? Mind you, this is not as bad as it was for the. This is just. Butch Ware is being getting his lashings right now because that's what I experienced firsthand from, my following, who is way more progressive than the average person. But I just want to, like, what if we put that energy fucking elsewhere? Right? Where we should have put that energy was fucking Katie Porter, fucking Antonia Villaraigosa. Mind you, Antonia Villaraigosa, I feel like his voters, who were like almost 2.4% of the total votes, I think most of them, or at least half of them, would have gone to Javier Becerra, because I think the same motherfucker who would vote for Antonia Villaraigosa, even though he's a piece of shit mayor, would vote for Javier Becerra just on the, honestly, the basis on the, of their ethnicity. But the Katie Porter voters, she positioned herself as this like super progressive, basically Elizabeth Warren type, who when asked about how would you convince Trump voters who made up almost 40% of California, why to vote for you, she was like, why do I need them? If I make it to the general, I don't need them. And I was like, bitch, that just tells me you don't need your fucking, you don't take your fucking campaign seriously. I fully believe that bitch was running as a psyop. Like, she knew she was not winning. There was no point in this election where Katie Porter was a serious contender in the same way that Elizabeth Warren was never seen as a serious contender. But they were kept in the race to fuck up the progressive candidate. In this case, Tom Steyer. In Elizabeth Warren's case, Bernie Sanders. Katie Porter will never be seen as a progressive politician henceforth. She shot that shit in the leg when she thought she had, or she agreed. Let me get it. I was gonna say when she thought she had a chance of winning California governor. I will just say right now, I don't believe she actually thought she had a chance. There was no poll that ever had her in the lead for real. Not any poll that mattered in the last 2 months. This was a vanity campaign. This and we should be wise. We should be We should have wisened up to this already. There are vanity campaigns that run every election, right? There was that crystal lady that ran for the Democrats, Marianne, I forgot her last name, but that lady that was like super crystals person that, in the 90s believed that like prayer would like lift AIDS or whatever. Like, we always get these people that are just run for vanity. So yeah, now so people who were like, I'm not supporting a billionaire, like blah blah. Girl, that is low-key identity politics. Like, this man is saying, I want to get rid of my money. A, that's why I'm not asking for money. B, I'm like taxing myself. C, like, I need to get rid of the like inequity in California. When somebody's already telling you that and promising you to do all these big things, and on the other side, you have somebody telling you, I'm not going to fix anything. I'm just going to keep California as is. Unaffordable as California. But we're essentially building a servant class. And the majority still votes for that. That's insane. And like people not being able to see that, like people being taking, wasting of people's energy, being like, I'm going to vote for Butch Ware. And like bother people who are not supporting that because my politics are better than yours. I'm just like, bitch, it reminds me of this quote that like the left will never gain any power so long as they keep prioritizing being morally correct over gaining power or gaining progress. We are not progressing here. What is the plan? We are not progressing here, even on the most normie fucking stage, in the most quote unquote liberal fucking state. There's no progression. Girl, we had one basic ass job. And if Butch Ware took that campaign seriously, he would have done a lot more than little social media shit. Because let me tell you, if you go to his account, that bitch ain't getting that many likes. And if he really cared about doing the most minimal work, he would have at least come on this podcast, a podcast that is falling to, or even a fucking bigger platform like Hassan's, Piker's, or I've Had It, or the fuck any other podcast that would have been friendly to him. But he did not. He did not put any work. Instead, he made you bitches work as psyops for him to bother people who dared say anything positive about one of the most progressive candidates that was actually in the running. The effects of not having a top two Democrat ballot come November. Let me just say this. There is a high chance that some dirt will be found about Javier Becerra because he has been in this fucking business for a long time and has been inefficient the entire time. So let's just start there. There's likely going to be some dirt found about that man that's going to make him seem real unappealing. Secondly, because Steve Hilton is in the top two, there are likely going to be more Republicans voting in the general election. That has effects on the rest of the ballot. So, that's what we call down ballot voting. So you think it's only about voting president, vice president? No, it's about voting the entire thing. I mean, by that I mean governor and mayor, blah, blah, not president, vice president. About voting for the entire slate. Which, if we had two Democrats running for governor in California, that would almost eliminate a lot of the Republican voters, which means that conservative measures would not be passed. But now that we have a hardcore MAGA motherfucker, there is vested interest in making him governor. Which means MAGA voters are going to be activated this election. They have infinite money, something that Democrats do not really have compared to them. If Steve Hilton doesn't work for them, they will still show up to that fucking ballot box and make those conservative measures pass. It will be harder, or it will be harder to make them like make progressive things like actually pass. And all this. Oh God, we're, nope. Before I even pass this, we need to talk about the LA mayorship. The LA mayorship, where Spencer Pratt almost fucking won. Nitya Raman took second place in the LA mayorship race behind Karen Bass. Spencer Pratt, who has no experience running the shit. So the same thing that y'all bitches were calling out Sam Steyer for, he never ran a government. That's the same shit that got people to vote for Spencer Pratt, apparently, who also has never run anything, not even a big company. And yet, like 20% of like LA voters voted for him. Y'all are so despicable. I will clarify that it was a lot of the rich, it was mostly the rich counties that voted for him. There was pretty much no like communities of color that really voted for him, for Spencer Pratt. And I will add this, that a lot of people in this mayor race found out that their areas are not incorporated to LA, which is crazy. It's crazy to me that like something like Malibu or like Thousand Oaks, you know, Beverly Hills or the Hills in general can vote for LA mayorship, but like Southeast LA can't. Inglewood can't even vote for a fucking mayor. That is insane. That's racism straight up. That's just like redlining, gerrymandering, like straight up. Because all these things will affect these cities. So I guess I should start there. Spencer Pratt was close to winning because of the fucking racist redlining, voting, gerrymandering bullshit that is in the fabric of LA. God, Nithya Raman won by the skin of her teeth. She was not my choice. It was Ray Chung, like I said last episode. I stand by that. They really shot her fucking campaign in the foot by not platforming her. So Nithya is who we have. Okay. She is likely to win because people want change. Karen Bass is the same person who defunded LA Fire Department and put that money into the LA Police Department. Same person who has led homelessness, like run without help, cut those services, not made. Like, make sure that hasn't ensure that that money is being spent correctly in a way that really helps people. People are tired of Karen Bass. She will likely not win. That's why she wanted Spencer Pratt to win. But that we were saved by the Chinny Chin Chin girl because Spencer Pratt almost ran against her. And again, that was going to be him exhausting MAGA money. Imagine a Republican run LA. Which reminds me, people think California is so fucking progressive. Bitch, we got some of the worst motherfuckers come from California. Fucking Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ronald Reagan should have been enough for everybody to realize that, like, we are not as progressive as people think. So, like, suck on that. Something that we need to fight for going forward is like ranked choice voting needs to be a thing. It needs to be hard fought for because people were like, stick to your morals when endorsing, blah, blah. I'm sorry, in California, you cannot stick to your morals when, like, we cannot have a mandate in California because we don't have ranked choice voting. In New York, people were able to stick to their morals because ranked choice voting allowed them to choose the person, rank the people who they liked and who they believed in. California, you really don't. It's either you vote for the guy you want or they lose. And that's not really effective in such in like the most populous state in the nation. But I want to highlight that ranked choice voting is not a thing in California right now because Gavin Newsom, y'all's wannabe presidential candidate, vetoed it. And that's because his party knew that ranked choice voting would push California left. When right now we're teetering on like right center, right of center. So ranked choice voting needs to be a thing. It needs to be pushed. That needs to be the next big issue that California really fights for. We need to get on the ground. Nithya Raman is not my candidate of choice, but I understand that she's the most progressive of what we have. She previously called what Israel is doing to Palestine a genocide. She has since walked back some of the statements she previously said that we need to defund or abolish the police. She has since walked back those statements. And yet, as an abolitionist, as an anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian person, I still understand that that is a more progressive choice that we can make. We need to pick our enemies wisely. And if we can't do that shit in California, then we ain't worth shit, to be honest. Mean, there's other election news that I can go over, but I feel like I've exhausted a lot of stuff. So I'm gonna peace out and I'm gonna talk about the things that have made me less bitter recently, and that has been Tinashe putting out a new single called Too Easy, in which she calls out how fun and easy she makes it to be a pop star, even though she doesn't have the fame and the money of all these pop girls that steal her style. Mostly K-pop girls, so she calls out a lot of K-pop girls, especially hype labels like NewJeans and Cat's Eye, in her video, and I fucking love that shit. Like, Tinashe has been such an innovator and one of my favorite artists and a fellow Aquarius, for a decade now, and I'm so glad that she's able to now really own the position that she has earned. And I really hope this album is as fantastic as the lead single. And with that, I'm gonna let y'all go. Thank you for joining me. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Send it to some liberal bitch that voted for Javier Becerra or Katie Porter. And I'll see you sooner than you believe because we still have other election things to cover. But this got too long already and I got too wound up. So I'm gonna end it now. All right. Love y'all. Bye.